21, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He will not be silent. Fire devours before him and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. And he says, when you're in Rochford, would you get together on a Sunday morning with your pastors and hear what I've got to say? It's here. It's here. Listen to it. Gather to me, my consecrated ones, who've made a covenant with me by sacrifice. You have broken bread and wine poured into cups to tell about the sacrifice of a Saviour who makes our meeting possible. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Here's the verse I want to share with you. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you, because I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings which are ever before me. I don't have a need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens. For every animal in the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. And if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and all that's in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice, thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and listen, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. And you will honour me. Here's a couple of announcements, as quick as we can. Know something. God wants you to hear something. Understand something. And he's given you a book. This book. The Bible. And James will describe God's word as a mirror in which we see ourselves reflected. And when James makes that comment, it carries the idea that you have to read your Bible because it will show you just what you are. It will show us just as we are. And you will read something here and you say, hey, that's me. And then you read something and say, hey, that's God. And that's what James has got, the idea when he's saying, you're going to see this in a mirror. Now, King Josiah, one of the godly kings, and there was a revival underneath him, actually, but he assumed that he and the nation were doing fine, that they were all that they were supposed to be. And then there was an excavation. And do you know what they found? They found the Torah. They found a book, the Old Testament book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They found the law of God. It because of all the chaos that had gone on, it was secreted away, covered in dust and dirt and stone and everything. And they found it. And they bring it to the king, this young king, Josiah. And he'd been lost for so long. And now they read it. And as the book is read, everything changes. The king says, hey, let me read you 2 Kings 22, verse 11. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. Why? Because he was suddenly realizing how far from God they were. How self-centered they had been. How disobedient they had been. And how God was a long, long way off from the people. So he tears his robes as a public showing everyone that by this action, by tearing his robes, we repent. He repents. They repent as a nation before God. And without a moment's delay, he issues a call to the whole of the nation. Here it is, verse 3 of chapter 23. To follow the Lord and keep his commandments, So you are going to say, hey, that's us. That's him. We read about him in the book. So here we are, centuries later, and it's Bible Sunday. And we have to admit, the Bible is still the best book to have around. In this book, I discover what I can do in order to please God. In this book, there is a personal message to tell me what God has in mind for me and how I can discover something in this book that will help me face all the issues of my life. And most of all, it will show me what God can do for me and what God wants to do with me. Here's Romans 15. Whatever things were written before were written to teach us, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might what? Might have hope. Might have hope. So in a world that's lost its way, when there are so many personal dilemmas to confuse us and challenge us, and so many issues to confront us on the journey of life, we can have hope. Spurgeon used to say, hey, show me a Bible that's falling apart, and you'll see it usually belongs to somebody who isn't. Almost every day, you can watch a program on how to cook, when to cook, what to cook. I picked up out of my newspaper yesterday three books. One from Marks and Spencer's, one from Waitrose, and I can't remember who the other one came from, telling me what to cook and how to cook for Christmas. And you've seen them. There was a Wall Street Journal that last year did a survey that said that, now, however accurate, I don't know this, it came out of the Wall Street Journal article, that there are 1,000 different cookbooks published in America every single year. And at the same time, fewer and fewer people are actually cooking. And increasingly, numbers of them are eating out or buying ready-made meals. All I say is go and stand outside Farm Foods or Iceland's, and you'll see the same's happening over here. The article ran an interview with a number of people, and one woman says she had two journals every month on cooking. She got four textbooks every year on cooking, and she never cooked. We got this book. It's just like the cookbooks. It's just like cookbooks for some folk. Sits on a shelf. Sits in a corner. Hey, it's not meant to be like that. You know, we had a couple of weeks ago Remembrance Day, all right? Well, in Denmark, because Denmark was occupied by the Nazi Germany, in Denmark, they have what they call Liberation Day. And on Liberation Day, every house puts a candle, a lighted candle, in its window to tell about the fact that the light came when Nazi Germany was broken and destroyed. It used to happen all down the western coast, particularly from Scotland, in the those border areas, all down the western coast of Great Britain, when ships and the fishermen were out at sea, everybody would put a lighted candle. We didn't have the sophisticated radar and all that. I'm going back to before my boyhood days. A lighted candle in the window to show people the way home. So what does Deuteronomy say? Read this book, so you can listen and learn to fear the Lord and follow contentedly all the words of this book. It's a lighted candle. It's in the window. We have it here every Sunday morning. We light the candle. You come in. Maybe we don't always sing the hymns you want to sing, songs you want to sing. But I tell you what we do. Right in the middle of a service like this, we light a candle to show you the light of God's word. And here's Asaph. He's the, if I can put it in a simpler kind of way, the choir master, the worship leader during the time of David. And he actually wrote 11 psalms, a group of psalms. And this is Psalm 50. And it was to help explain what they knew about God. So having mentioned that, you look at the book and you say, well, that's me. Or you say, that's him. We start off, the mighty one. That really is in Hebrew, El. And then God, the mighty one, El Elohim. It's the way he's saying it. And he's saying, the Lord, Jehovah. You know, the most high, Elyon. I'm giving you a Hebrew lesson for nothing. And our God, right on when he comes in, our God, he used the word then, Eloah. He has taken five phrases and he's taken the Jewish understanding and mind and turned it into a magnificent description of the greatness of our God. And we have to sing it. Then sings my soul, how great thou art. And the picture goes on to see God as a some kind of holy judge, for God himself is a judge. And what happens when, and the whole idea is, what happens with the judge? The judge walks into the courtroom and everybody stands and everybody stops talking and everybody forgets what anything else they've got in their mind, and they are in the presence of this judge. We think of judge. But there was a greater concept behind the whole idea. Here is a sovereign. Here's a leader. Here is someone who knows what he's about and what we need to be doing. And he says, God himself is a judge. You see? And he says, have you got this? From where the east is? Grasp it. From the east, the sun rises. It goes all the way over and sets in the west. That's the place where it sets. That's where God, the church, is in dominion over all the world. Can I show you something? Wherever you go this week, wherever I go, whatever happens to you, and whatever happens to me, you see, however ordinary, however mundane it's going to be this week, it's part of God's territory. He's there. And if you have a hard day on Wednesday, he's there. And if you can't make sense of Thursday, he's there. Far as the east is from the west, this great God is there. He has stopped. What Asaph was telling us about, it's ours, you see. And with it comes an invitation, comes an instruction. In fact, I think it's more than that. I think it's a command. The King James puts it, gather my saints to me. Gather to me the consecrated ones who have made a covenant with me through sacrifice. That's us. This God, who's in control of this vast universe, has said, hey, you folk who've trusted Jesus in Rochford, would you come together at a specific time, in a specific place? It happens to be called the Congregational Church. You happen to have a couple of guys who are your leaders, your pastors. But gather these folk together. Why? Because God says, I want you to hear what I have to say. I've got something to say to you. And we come because of what's on this table, the communion table, because of the sacrifice of Calvary. And we come because I may have forgotten. I may have got confused. I may have been pressured. I may have pushed to the back of my mind because of the things that are happening to me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, what God is like. So he says, tell my covenant people to come to me so I can say something to them in case they pushed things because of the world in which they live way at the back. Philip says, don't let the world squeeze you into his mold. I've got three things. I'm going to cut the next bit. Three things I want you to get. What does God want to talk to us about? Well, it says here, the heavens proclaim his righteousness. God wants us to know about that. It's verses 5 and 6. He wants us to be confronted by a holy God, by a God who always does what is right. Now, we may question that when we see things happening around us, in our world, in our personal lives. But God's always doing what is right. Politicians aren't. Leaders aren't. Friends aren't. Neighbors aren't. I'm not. But he always is. I wrote a sentence here. I want you to hear me say it. He is good all the time. Can I repeat that? God is good all the time. You say, hey, what's your proof? I see what's demonstrated at the cross. I see that the whole of humanity was destined for hell. I glance at Romans 1, 2, 3. There are none righteous, no, not one. There are none who know the way of peace. There are no fear of God in their eyes. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How do you solve a problem like that? And God says, I tell you what I did. Listen to what I have to say. How can God be just and the justifier? You see, and Jesus comes to Bethlehem to demonstrate that God loves us and wants a different way. He always wants to do what's right and what's good and what will bless us. There's a Sankey song, oh, what a Savior that he died for me. From condemnation, he has made me free. Hear that? What are you talking about, Pastor? I hear a sound. I've gone from you. In my mind's eye, I've gone to see what it's like in the heavens. And I hear a song. I hear them around the throne. And John says, after this, I heard what sounded like a great roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belongs to God. For he is true and just in all his judgments. I don't know what kind of week you've had. I've had a dreadful week. All sorts of things have happened with regard to Mark. I've had a dreadful week. It's been challenging. It's been discouraging. It's been distressing. It's been devastating. And maybe you've had that too. And that week that I've just experienced has brought me here this morning. And it's brought you here. Whatever week you've had, you brought it, you've come from it, and you've come here. And at the cross, grace is poured out, and I see the you know, let me end of course, at the cross, when I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. I came this morning, because he said, gather, you're a covenant child, gather with the saints, and hear what I have to say to you from the book. That he's a good God, he's a righteous God, he's in control, and no matter the circumstances of my life, he'll forgive me, I'll be reconciled to him, I'll be blessed by him, I'll be others. Tell what else he wants me to hear. Not just about his righteousness, but about his resources. Every animal, every beast is what he's saying. If of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. How could Israel think that by bringing the bulls, the goats, the sacrifices, they were giving God something? Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Paul will talk on the Areopagus on the hill there in Athens about the God who made the world and everything in it, because he's the Lord of heaven and earth. And you say to me, hey, you just talked to us about those children and the Naringa people. Why are they so short? Because I'll tell you why. Because 1/7 of us in the Western world enjoy 6/7 of the world's resources. Don't you blame God for famine. Don't blame God for shortages. Blame man. Blame man, because we've coveted it to ourselves. What half of you don't know, we've had a guy sleeping in the doorway out here all this week. Given him breakfast, I've let him use the toilets. He's rolled up his sleeping bag and gone on his way. We've given him something to try and get him through the day. You gave a pile of biscuits for the function we had. There was some left, so he went away with biscuits in his hand as well for the rest of the day. Don't blame God for that. Blame God. No. All the resources are there. It's what we do with them that's the issue. And the overarching truth, when you look at this psalm, when he says, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, the wealth in every mine, is this: I'll provide for you. I'll provide for you. All that you need in your life, I'll meet that need. But don't limit it just to the finance and the physical. You know? I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to serve him the best I can. He'll give it me. I need the gift of patience to endure under trials and setbacks. He'll provide it. I need healing physically, emotionally, spiritually. Hear what the Sermon on the Mount says? Before you ask, he knows what you need. Hear what I have to say to you. Hear about my resources. And you know one other thing, quick and I'm done. God wants to know he'll respond to our cry. Call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. What a promise. What a prospect. Because he says, if you call on me and I deliver you, you will glorify me. You know, a storm on the Sea of Galilee was ominous and it was threatening, and the disciples thought that they were going to lose their lives. And they found he was there for them. The thief hangs on a cross next to him and is there for him. You know, Valerie Russell sings a song. I haven't heard her sing it for 2 or 3 years. But in times like these, we need a Savior. And she goes to the second verse. In times like these, we need an anchor. And then she goes to the third verse. In times like these, we need a Bible. Know it in your heart. Store it in your heart. And show it in your life. And sow it. Go and sow the seeds of this wonderful book in the world out there. This book will be an infallible guide in the conduct of our lives. It'll be an unspeakable source of comfort in all our troubles and trials. And when we live by its principles and when we follow its precepts, we'll be the person that God has put a hand of blessing on and will make us a blessing to others. Amen.